Monday, December the 21st. Woke up with a panic attack to see that it was 8:50 by my bedside digital. My black walls looked unusually light and sparkly. One glance outside confirmed my suspicions that indeed the snow lay outside like a white carpet. I stumbled through the snow to Pandora's house in my father's fishing boots, but found that the house was devoid of humans. I looked through the letterbox and saw my mother's fur coat being mauled about by Pandora's ginger cat. I shouted swear words at it, but the lousy stinking cat just looked sarcastic and carried on dragging the coat around the hall. I had no choice but to shoulder charge the laundry room door and rush into the hall and rescue my mother's coat. I left quickly, as quickly as anyone can, wearing thigh-length fishing boots four sizes too big. I put the fur coat on to keep me warm on my hazardous journey home. I nearly lost my bearings at the corner of Ploughman's Avenue and Shepherd's Crook Drive, but I fought my way through the blizzard until I saw the familiar sight of the prefabricated garages on the corner of our cul-de-sac. I fell into our kitchen in a state of hypothermia and severe exhaustion. My mother was smoking a cigarette and making mince pies. She screamed, "What the bloody hell are you doing wearing my fox fur coat?" She was not kind or concerned or anything that mothers are supposed to be. She fussed about, wiping snow off the coat and drying the fur with a hairdryer. She didn't even offer to make me a hot drink or anything. She said, "It's been on the radio that the school is closed because of the snow, so you can make yourself useful and check the camp beds for rust. The Sugdons are staying over Christmas." The Sugdons, my mother's relations from Norfolk. Yuck, yuck. They're all inbred and can't speak properly. Phoned Pandora to explain about the fox fur and the damage, etc., but she had gone skiing on the slope behind the Co-op bakery. Pandora's father asked me to get off the line. He had to make an urgent phone call to the police station. He said he had just come home and discovered a break-in. He said the place was a shambles. The cat must have done it. I was very careful. But fortunately, the only thing that was missing was an old fox fur coat that Pandora had lined the cat's basket with. "Sorry, Pandora, but this is the final straw that broke the donkey's back. You can find yourself another Joseph. I refuse to share the stage with a girl who puts her cat's comfort before her boyfriend's dilemma." Tuesday, December the 22nd. School was closed this morning because the teachers couldn't manage to get in on time because of the snow. That will teach them to live in old mill houses and windmills out in the country. Miss Elf lives with a West Indian in a terraced house in the town, so she bravely turned out to prepare for the school concert in the afternoon. I decided to forgive Pandora for the fox fur in the cat's basket incident after she had pointed out that the cat was an expectant mother. The school concert was not a success. The bell ringing from Class 1G went on too long. My father said, "The bells, the bells," and my mother laughed too loudly and made Mr. Scruton look at her. The school orchestra was a disaster. My mother said, "When are they going to stop tuning up and start playing?" I told her that they had just played a Mozart horn concerto. That made my mother and father and Pandora's mother and father start laughing in a very unmannerly fashion. When 10-stone Alice Bernard from 3C came on stage in a tutu and did the Dying Swan, I thought my mother would explode. Alice Bernard's mother led the applause, but not many people followed. The Dumbo class got up and sang a few boring old carols. Barry Kent sang all the vulgar versions. I know, because I was watching his lips. Then they sat down cross-legged, and Brainbox Henderson from 5K played a trumpet, jew's harp, piano and guitar. The smarmy git looked dead superior when he was bowing during his applause. Then it was the interval, and time for me to change into my white T-shirt and Wranglers Joseph costume. The tension backstage was electric. I stood in the wings, a theatrical term, it means the side of the stage, and watched the audience filing back into their places. Then the music from Close Encounters boomed out over the stereo speakers, and the curtains opened on an abstract manger, and I just had time to whisper to Pandora, "Break a leg, darling," before Miss Elf pushed us out into the lights. My performance was brilliant. I really got under the skin of Joseph. But Pandora was less good. She forgot to look tenderly at Jesus, stroke Peter Brown. The three punks, stroke wise men, made too much noise with their chains and spoiled my speech about the Middle East situation, and the angels representing Mrs. Thatcher got hissed by the audience so loudly that their spoken chorus about unemployment was wasted. Still, all in all, it was well received by the audience. Mr. Scruton got up and made a hypocritical speech about a brave experiment and Miss Elf's tireless work behind the scenes, and then we all sang We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Driving home in the car, my father said, "That was the funniest nativity play I have ever seen. Whose idea was it to turn it into a comedy?" I didn't reply. It wasn't a comedy. Wednesday, December the 23rd, 9 a.m. Only 2 shopping days left for Christmas, and I am still penniless. I have made a Blue Peter oven glove for Miss Elf, but in order to give it to her in time for Christmas, I will have to go into the ghetto and risk getting mugged. I will have to go out carol singing. There is nothing else I can do to raise finance. 10 p.m. Just got back from carol singing. The suburban houses were a dead loss. People shouted, "Come back at Christmas," without even opening the door. My most appreciative audience were the drunks staggering in and out of the Black Bull. Some of them wept openly at the beauty of my solo rendition of Silent Night. I must say that I presented a touching picture as I stood in the snow with my young face lifted to the heavens, ignoring the scenes of drunken revelry around me. I made £3.13.5 plus an Irish 10p and Guinness bottle top. I'm going out again tomorrow. I will wear my school uniform. It should be worth a few extra quid. Thursday, December the 24th. Took Bert's woodbines round to the home. Bert is hurt because I haven't been to see him. He said he didn't want to spend Christmas with a lot of malicious old women. Him and Queenie are causing a scandal. They are unofficially engaged. They have got their names on the same ashtray. I have invited Bert and Queenie for Christmas Day. My mother doesn't know yet, but I'm sure she won't mind. We have got a big turkey. I sang a few carols for the old ladies. I made £2.11 out of them, so I went to Woolworths to buy Pandora's Chanel No. 5. They hadn't got any, so I bought her an underarm deodorant instead. The house looks dead clean and sparkling. There is a magic smell of cooking and satsumas in the air. I have searched around for my presents, but they're not in the usual places. I want a racing bike. Nothing else will please me. It's time I was independently mobile. 11 p.m. Just got back from the Black Bull. Pandora came with me. We wore our school uniforms and reminded all the drunks of their own children. They coughed up conscience money to the tune of £12.57. So we're going to see a pantomime on Boxing Day, and we will have a family bar of Cadbury's Dairy Milk each. Friday, December the 25th. Christmas Day. Got up at 5 a.m. to have a ride on my racing bike. My father paid for it with American Express. I couldn't ride it far because of the snow, but it didn't matter. I just liked looking at it. My father had written on the gift tag attached to the handlebars, "Don't leave it out in the rain this time." As if I would. My parents had severe hangovers, so I took them breakfast in bed and gave them my presents at the same time. My mother was overjoyed with her egg timer, and my father was equally delighted with his bookmark. In fact, everything was going okay, until I casually mentioned that Bert and Queenie were my guests for the day, and would my father mind getting out of bed and picking them up in his car? The row went on until the lousy Sugdens arrived. My grandma and Grandad Sugden, and Uncle Dennis and his wife Marcia and their son Morris, all looked the same, as if they went to funerals every day of their lives. I can hardly believe that my mother is related to them. The Sugdens refused a drink and had a cup of tea whilst my mother defrosted the turkey in the bath. I helped my father carry Queenie, 15 stone, and Bert, 14 stone, out of our car. Queenie is one of those loud types of old ladies who dye their hair and try to look young. Bert is in love with her. He told me when I was helping him into the toilet. Grandma Mole and Auntie Susan came at 12:30 and pretended to like the Sugdens. Auntie Susan told some amusing stories about life in prison, but nobody but me and my father and Bert and Queenie laughed. I went up to the bathroom and found my mother crying and running the turkey under the hot tap. She said, "The bloody thing won't thaw out, Adrian. What am I going to do?" I said, "Just bung it in the oven." So she did. We sat down to eat Christmas dinner 4 hours late. By then, my father was too drunk to eat anything. The Sugdens enjoyed the Queen's speech, but nothing else seemed to please them. Grandma Sugden gave me a book called Bible Stories for Boys. I could hardly tell her that I had lost my faith, so I said thank you and wore a false smile for so long that it hurt. The Sugdens went to their camp beds at 10 o'clock. Bert, Queenie and my mother and father played cards while I polished my bike. We all had a good time making jokes about the Sugdens. Then my father drove Bert and Queenie back to the home and I phoned Pandora up and told her that I loved her more than life itself. I am going round to her house tomorrow to give her the deodorant and escort her to the pantomime.